Good morning. Today's daf and Gittin Nun Beis. We are starting with the Mishnah today on the top of the Amud. The fifth parak of the Masechta dedicated to the topic of Tikkun Olam. Various institutions that were made by Chazal just to make improvements in terms of commerce and protection and various acts of protection that were looking to protect buyers, sellers. And today's daf, Yisomim. So, Rachmanis, you have Yisomim, you have orphans, and they have an estate, and they were left with an estate. And who's going to be the who's going to be the custodian of the estate? So the answer is that somebody who steps up is going to be the custodian of the estate. And so what we're going to be discussing over the course of today's daf is this one topic. Today's daf, in terms of daf yomi, just is perfect in terms of topic begins and ends all in one day. We begin with the Mishnah. Yisomim. Mishnah starts off. Yisomim shesam chleitzel balabais. Oh. So the Mishnah opens up with, so you have an orphan, and there were some mechetzel balabais, meaning nobody appointed this person to become the apotropos. It just happens to be that he stepped up to the plate. Oh, shemina lam avihem apotropos. So, or alternatively, he was appointed. So even if he was not appointed, or alternatively, he was appointed, in either one of those cases, he's maser perusem, he takes the shumas and maisers from the perils. Now, obviously, there is a whole host of points and considerations that you can make regarding the apotropos. The Mishnah picking on this one simple detail, one little detail. It's not unimportant, obviously, but the Mishnah picking on this one little detail is certainly of interest, of note. That over here is going to take off Trumas and Maestros, but as we're going to see in the Gemara, there is a consideration specific to Trumas and Maestros, and that's why the Mishnah picked up on that one point. Apotropos sheminu avi yisomim yishava minu abeisim lo yishava abashalam archilof advarim. And then at the end of his term of being apotropos, right, the kids are grown up, and thank you very much for your services, and we really appreciate it. And now let's do an accounting. In other words, for years and years now, you've been you've been a trustee of the account, and we need to know. In other words, did you skim anything off the top? Did you not? And so a machlokus in the Mishnah between Tanayim in terms of when does he have to make a shvu at the end. And the Gemara is going to go through. Well, let's wait for the Gemara. Gemara is going to go through each of these positions and when do you have to make a shvu and when do you not have to make a shvu. Fine. And as Rashi points out over here in the Mishnah, meaning whichever position you take, there's going to be a circumstance in where you're going to be relieved from having to make a shvu. So why? Tikkun Olam. Meaning, even though the Mishnah doesn't use the word Tikkun Olam, where are you going to find Tikkun Olam in the Mishnah? So Rashi fills in that blank. All right, the last Rashi in the Mishnah tells us that Bein Lamar, either way, the Lo Yishava, the relief of not having to make a Shvua, so that's Tikkun Olam. Meaning, all right, let's just say it out. And that is that when you are controlling somebody else's money, you're a Shomer. And generally speaking, again, the Gemara is going to touch on this at the very end of the sugya, but generally speaking, however, is that left to your own devices, you have somebody else's money, how do we know that you did everything you were supposed to do with the money? And the answer is, you make a shvua. So over here, what the Mishnah is teaching us is that under certain circumstances, again, depending who you follow, like, so you're going to be relieved from having to make a shvua, and that's a takana. And why did the Chachamim make that takana? Very simple. Because, again, depending on how you hold, you're basically doing something that you're getting nothing out of it. In other words, to be a custodian over somebody's estate, and you're not getting paid to do so, so that obviously is very taxing. Who's going to want to sign up for it? Who's going to step up for it? So as a result of that, so the Chachamim basically said, we're going to waive the Shvuah. Okay, a lot to discuss today. Uri Menu. So the first thing we're going to be discussing.
No.
The apotropos is not going to get paid. This is a volunteer. Yeah. This is a volunteer position. We're assuming he's doing so as a volunteer position. The first thing we're going to pick up is the first point of the Mishnah and Viriminu. Atem v'lo shufim, atem v'lo arisim, atem v'lo apotropim, atem v'lo atar mishen shalom. So the Bryce over here says very clearly, based on the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Kain Tarimu Gamatem, that who takes off Trumas and Maestros? So the Balabais. And anyone cannot step in the place of a Balabais to take off Trumas and Maestros. Now, it also happens to be, we all know that you can appoint a shliach, but in other words, an apotropos is not serving as a shliach. He is not a shliach. The apotropos is just simply controlling the estate, but he's not acting on behalf of. And we'll talk about this over the course of this morning. But meanwhile, over here, the Brisa says, with clarity, the apotropos cannot take a trumas amaisos. It's not his. And he's not a shliach. So he can't take off trumas amaisos. Now, Rashi points out over here that when the Brisa ends with the words, v'lo atar m'sheinu shelo, that's really an explanation of all of the above. In other words, if you're not the owner of the produce, you can't take off trumas amaisos, if you weren't appointed a shliach. So I'm Rav Chista lo kasha kan la'achil kan laniach. So Rav Chista says, okay, I hear the stira, but the answer is very simple. And that is that if the Yisomim themselves need to eat, and the produce that's being gathered by their estate is for the purposes of them eating, of course the apotropos now is going to take off Trumas HaMaisos. Otherwise, how are they going to eat the produce? The produce is tevel, they can't eat the produce until Trumas HaMaisos is taken off. So under those circumstances, the apotropos is commissioned to take off Trumas HaMaisos. On the other hand, if the produce is all going to be put away for a later time, obviously we're talking about something that can be put away for a later time, but if it's being put away for a later time, lehaniach, so then he is not the Baal HaBayis, the apotropos is not the owner, he's not a shliach, and he's not going to be taking off Trumas HaMaisos. Rashi points out over here, when the kids get older, then they'll take off Trumas HaMaisos. Ve'atanya, and the Gemara says, and this answer of Rav Chista, we're going to support it. This Ve'atanya is binichusa, ha'apotropin termen masrim, lahacha v'lo laniach, exactly with the distinction that Rav Chista made, we saw in the Braisa. For eating, the apotropos takes off Trumas HaMaisos. And lahaniach, if we're not going to eat the produce right now, we leave it. U'mochrim lahem, behem avadim v'shachas batim musadus ukramim lahachil, aval lo lahaniach. And what part of the estate can be sold off? The answer is that if the kids need to eat, so then the apotropos can sell off parcels of the estate, or not just real estate. In other words, also whatever assets the estate has. If the kids need to eat, apotropos sells it off. U'mochrim lahem peres yenus u'shmanus osu lahachil aval lo lahaniach. And you also go ahead and sell off produce so that the kids can eat. Okay. V'usin lan lula v'areva sukkah v'titzitz v'choldava sheish lo kitzva le'asuye shofar. And, in other words, if you're the apotropos of this estate, and the kids now, not only do they need to eat, but they need to do mitzvahs as well. So what are you going to do? In other words, they need to buy a lulav, so you buy them a lulav. In other words, you tap into the estate, and you buy the kids lulav. And not just lulav, but any mitzvah sheyesh lo kitzvah, as long as it's got a set amount of how much it's going to be. I'm sorry, and even though the Braisa only mentioned lulav, arava, sukkah, tzitzis, right, the mention of arava over here is so interesting. But anyway, that would include shofar as well. So v'lochin lahem, sefer Torah, tefillah, mezuzah, v'choldav, sheyesh lo kitzvah, lasuya, megillah. And you have to buy them svarim. So they could learn and they could do mitzvahs with this farm, including a megillah. Vein poskin alei in staka. Now, what they're not going to do is that they're not going to be giving staka. Meaning staka is something which is unending. Vein potem alei mesashuim velo kol davashin lo kitzva lasui tanchumi avelim. And so what we're not going to do is that we're not going to tap into the estate of the yisomim in order so that they give staka. Rashi points out over here, staka is unending. In other words, somebody knocks on your door, somebody else is going to come knocking your door also. And so it's unending. So if you're the owner of your estate, so you'll make the decisions of what you're going to give, what you're not going to give. But the apotropos is not authorized to go ahead and to give stuck on behalf of the kids, because it's something shein lo kitzvah. Doesn't have a set amount. Now, what about making trades, sales so that you can get better, improved properties? Right. In other words, let's say the estate right now is a property that's really far away. And now the apotropos thinks to himself, I got a great idea. I'll sell that land. It's very far away from where we are. And we'll buy property that's closer. Alternatively, the land that they currently hold right now is inferior. I'll sell it and I'll buy a better land. So can the apotropos do that? So interestingly enough, the Braisa says no. So my time a dilma mishtadfin. Because what's going to happen is that the land will be ruined by some sort of disease. Right, shidafon, right, that wind, that heavy wind that goes ahead and damages land. Anyway, you may have succeeded in buying him a better real estate holding. That may be true, But at the very same time, however, that new land that you purchased may get ruined. And and obviously all this is hashkacha and based on mazel, but mazel is a function of hashkacha, but the point is that passivity, meaning as long as there's already holdings in the estate, so for you to go ahead and start maneuvering, playing Monopoly, so to say, with the properties and buying what you think is a better land, you don't know. Meaning it may be a better land, but at the same time, however, things may happen to it, and better that you leave it as is, and when the kids grow up, they'll make the decisions of what to do. So, what the apotropin cannot do is they cannot sell real estate even for the purchase of avavadim. But according to the Tanakhama, if let's say the estate was in ownership of avadim, so you could sell the avadim and get real estate with it, right? Real estate is a much more secure holding than that of avadim. Avadim are, they're not as permanent as real estate. So you can transfer you can make, that exchange you can make. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer af lo limkor avadim velikach sados maitama dilma. So Rosh Hashanah Gamliel argues on this point. According to Rosh Hashanah Gamliel, you cannot go ahead and swap out the avadim of the estate in order for land. You buy land, and who knows? Maybe the land won't settle well. Something can happen to the land. So in other words, Rosh Hashanah Gamliel says basically status quo. Keep a status quo. You seem to be improving the position of the estate from going from avadim to land. Rosh Hashanah Gamliel says no. I don't agree. Ve'na patrapim rishayim ladon lachov lazokos b'nechse yisamim. So, and what about litigation? Can the patrapim serve as basically an attorney to go ahead and litigate on behalf of the estate? So the brisa says no. This is a long brisa. The brisa says no, and not to litigate in order to win, not to litigate in order to lose. So lazakot amaylo. So the in other words, if he has arguments that would help the Yisomim and it would help them win in court, so why not? So Ella Lachov Amanas Lazakus Benichse Yisomim. So let's say the apotropis has a case and we could go either way. But in other words, but let's risk it, because maybe if we go ahead and we go into this case and the case can go in either direction and I could win or I could lose, but on the chance that I'm going to lose, I could also win. So that's what the Bryce is saying no to. Meaning if it's any kind of litigation that involves, we have a chance, we can go either way. So that the Bryce says no. But if there is just, in other words, there's a taina on the estate and the apotropis knows how to defend, obviously the apotropis now should go in from the purpose of defense. That's not what the Bryce was referring to. Ain apotropin v'shan lo'otzi avadim l'cheirus. So now, can the apotropis go ahead and release any of the avadim? So the brisa says no. So the aval mocher nosam lacherim vecher motzim nosam lacherus. Now what the apotropis can do is can sell the evik kanani to others, and then the others who bought him can go ahead and release him. Rebbe Omer Omerani, according to Shitas Rebbe, right? Whenever Rebbe states an opinion in a brisa, Rebbe Omer Omerani. Just an expression that he uses. I say, right? Lefi daiti, le af hu nosin deme atzmo viyotzim imnei shehu kemocholo. What somebody can do is that somebody can give money to the Evan Kanani. Again, money to the Evan Kanani to the exclusion of his owner, so that the Evan Kanani now can buy himself out. According to Rebbe, that would be okay. In other words, the apotropis can negotiate such a buyout. The vitzarich lechashiv imam b'achrona. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel omer enot tzarich. And now as he gets to the end of his duties, of his term, of being an apotropos, and now as he's handing everything over back to the kids, who are now adults, so at that point in time, a cheshbon, so the brisa says, machlokas whether or not an auditing is done. According to the Tanakhama, you have to audit, you have to be audited, and according to Shimon Gamliel, nope, you don't have to be audited. Enos an apotropin nashim. We're almost done with the brisa, right? It's a very long brisa. And the women cannot be serving as apotropos, the avadim v'ketanim, neither can an evig, neither can a katam, the iminam of yisomim, avrishas biyadam. However, if the father appointed any one of the above as an apotropos, so he certainly has the right to do so, right? In other words, certainly not does not sound like a prudent decision made by the father. But if you'd like to, he may do so. Okay, why not women? Meaning, when it comes to avadim, when it comes to ketanim, well, certainly when it comes to ketanim, it's self understood. He doesn't the katan doesn't have a das. Obviously, for an apotropos, you need somebody with wisdom, common sense, right? Experience, right? All the criteria which you and I would be looking for when appointing somebody to be a custodian of an estate. So that part we understand. So a katan is excluded for the obvious reasons that he doesn't have das. But as far as women are concerned, what would be, in other words, women can be involved in commerce. So Rashi over here points out that as far as women are concerned, so typically speaking, they're not out there, right? Rashi writes, Nashim ein darkam latzeis v'lavo v'lechoach. It's just simply not the way of women to go ahead. In other words, for the custodian, what he needs to be is he needs to be out there, negotiating, dealing, right? Even though, by the way, right, after having gone through the Brisa, we've capped so many negotiations that he can do. In other words, basically, right, his mission statement as a custodian is basically status quo, right? Don't touch anything, leave everything alone. However, there are decisions. What I'm saying is oversimplified. There are decisions that he needs to make. And as such, we need somebody with experience and we need somebody who's ready to go out there. And that, so Rashi explains that's why women are not recommended. How who apotropos? Okay.
So yet the father can appoint the
cutter.
It's an effectual.
I don't understand. Right, you're asking even better than me. I'm just simply saying it's not prudent, and you're simply saying it's not even. It doesn't even work. Right. Okay. I hear. Hahu apotropos ave b'shivavusa de Rebbe Meir. And so as long as today is the day dedicated to apotropos, so we're going to be treated to a number of stories in today's daf. Let's go number one. So there was an apotropos in the town of Rebbe Meir, in the community of Rebbe Meir, Davakam Zabin Ariv Zabin Avde. And he seems to be doing things that were irresponsible. So he was selling off the Avadim. He was selling off properties and he was buying Avadim. Now that is an irresponsible move. Properties are a much more solid asset. And he was selling them off for Avadim, Velo Shafke Rebbe Meir. So Rebbe Meir basically turned to the apotropos and said, don't do that. Rebbe Meir stopped him from doing that. So, Achvele Bechama, Anila Roosevelt Taliv knows. And he got a message in a dream. In the dream, the following was said to him, right, displayed to him, whatever. The message was communicated to Rebbe Meir in the dream. Anila Roosevelt Taliv knows. So, I'm here to destroy, and you're building. So, the Mina Shamayim, for reasons that obviously are understood by the infinite, not understood by you and I, but that's fine. In other words, our understanding of this world obviously is extraordinarily limited. But Anila Haros, meaning I don't want that estate to be successful. Again, for whatever reasons. And meanwhile, what are you doing? You're defending the estate. And Rebbe Meir said, okay, great, I'm so happy I had that dream. I don't care. In other words, my position over here, my mission over here is to protect the assets of the Yisomim. It's a hashkacha that the Yisomim should lose out. Lovely. In other words, I'm hearing that in a dream. So, divrei chalamos lamalam v'lamaridin. Okay, and obviously a really interesting and big topic. I'm just going to mention it. In other words, the significance of dreams. The Gemara at the end of Brachos has a lengthy discussion regarding the significance of dreams and what do they mean. And over here in our Gemara, a quick dismissal of, you know, whatever you dream about, just move on. Okay, it's just but a dream. Okay. He understands. Correct. In other words, we have to do what's correct over here. And I had a dream. Yeshua Korach had a dream. That's very nice. Okay, so now this story over here has nothing to do with apotropism, but in other words, but there is some loose connection between this story and the above. There were two people who were fighting. Igre behu satan, right? Spurned on, stirred by the satan. The satan basically is getting these two people to really. The satan is serving as a agitator for these two people. Erev Shabbos they'd be fighting. We're not given any more details. Why specifically Erev Shabbos? If I had a guess, which I'm doing right now, it's because Erev Shabbos is very stressful.
So the, but whatever. Every Erev Shabbos, they're finding Ekle, Rabbi Meir, Lahasam, Rabbi Meir goes there, Akvina Talsa, Beishimsha, Ada Avelu Shama. And Rabbi Meir is the peacemaker. For 3 Erev Shabboses in a row, so he stopped them from fighting. Again, we're not given any details, what happened, what did he do. It, right, the details over here, the Gemara has a particular point it wants to make, the Gemara is going to get to its point. So Shama Dikamar, Vaida Afke, Rabbi Meir, Lahu Gavra Mi Beise. And Rabbi Meir heard the following. He overheard, I don't know what we're talking about right now, a dream, a baskol, but he overheard, whoa, Rabbi Meir is basically getting me out of my job, right? My job as Sutton is to agitate. And I'm an agitator. And that's my job. I get paid to agitate. And meanwhile, Rabbi Meir is not letting me do my job. And, and obviously the point is that Rabbi Meir doesn't care. Right, much like in the previous story, this is a loose connection between this story and the previous one. Much like in the previous story, right, Rabbi Meir heard the following in the dream, Anila Aros Vatalev Nos. And over here in this story, Rabbi Meir, I'm out of a job. Okay, all well and good. Meaning, just basically do the right thing and, right, you hear messages that would point to the other direction, ignore them. Right, just simply do the right thing. How up a trapus dava bishavavuse de Rabbi Yeshua Malevi dava kamaz mazvanari vizavin ture. Okay, next story now, we're back to apotropsim and stories about apotropsim. One in the community of Rabbi Yeshua Malevi, he was selling land and he was buying oxen with the money. Now again, by the way, what seems to be a non-prudent move, an irresponsible move on the part of the apotropus. So lo amalu velo midi. Now Rabbi Yeshua Malevi didn't protest. It sounds like something you should be protesting to. So several like Rabbi Yossi, Detanya, Rabbi Yossi, Miyamai, Lokaris, Lishti, Ishi, Lushari, Shari, Ela, Lishti, Besi, Lushari, Sadai. Now, the reason why Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi didn't protest is because he thought, you know what? This is not irresponsible. It's financially responsible. Why? So it's based on a statement of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi taught that as far as his house is concerned, he referred to his, as far as his wife is concerned, he referred to his wife as his house. Okay? And Rashi points out over here, right, this Rashi is often quoted. It, Rashi says it's because the woman is the Akeres Habayis. She's sustaining the home. The home cannot function without the wife. So the wife is the house. Fine. And as far as the shore is concerned, the shore is Sadai. Right, the ox is my field. Meaning it's as valuable as the field. And so therefore, the ox is the, you know, it's the machinery that makes the field work and operate. And since the ox is such a important asset and such a significant part of the production of property, so therefore it is not financially responsible to take assets, move them from property over into oxen. And so therefore Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi thought that the apotropos is within his fiduciary responsibility. Okay, good. Hanu yasme davis michi gabi aisafta. Havale torta. So there were the Yisomim, and they were by an elderly woman. Right? I'm just going back to my old days, but unaviacha, whatever, an old woman who was basically taking care of the Yisomim. So havale torta. Now, as far as the Yisomim are concerned, they had a cow. Shakla uzvinte nialayu. So what they did is that again, she's a custodian, she is the trustee, and she sold the cow. So now relatives are going over to Rav Nachman. Help Rav Nachman, right? This old woman is basically, she's being financially responsible with the estate. Please help us. To which Rav Nachman said, she's the custodian, meaning, and the custodian doesn't necessarily need to be appointed. And that's what we learned in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah taught us, meaning the beginning of today's daf, when someone steps forward to be an apotropos, so you are an apotropos. You are given the rights of being an apotropos if you're the one stepping forward. And so Rav Nachman said, look, it might not be the best financial move. However, she is the apotropos. Veha iyakar. So now they're still protesting, right? Have you looked at the ox market lately? So oxes have gone up. So since the sale, now the oxes have gone up. She lost the kid's money. So Bershusa Delokeach Yakar. So to which Rav Nachman says, okay, what do you want from me? In other words, the sale was already made. The item increased in value. Okay, but it's no longer part of the estate. So vaha lo nikite dame. So now the relatives are still arguing with Rav Nachman, and the relatives said, yeah, but you know what? The estate didn't get paid yet, and so no money was transferred. So now what are we looking at over here? So we're going to discuss for the next couple of minutes all various halachas of kinyanim when it comes to both estates and hekdesh. So over here, a mashicha was done, right? So mashicha, generally speaking, is the form of kinyan when we're talking about metaltalin. So a mashicha was done, but the money wasn't actually paid yet. So now to the witcher of Nachman said, okay, now I hear you. Armalu im kein hainu der Rav Chani lie. By Idi Amr Shmuel, Amr Rav Chani lie. By Idi Amr Shmuel, nechse yisomim harehein kehektish v'lo magne ele bekaspa. So over here, what we're going to do is make the following institution. This is quoted in the name of Shmuel. And that is just like by Hekdesh. Hekdesh, when is the kinyan done? Only with kesef, only with actual money being transferred. And what we're going to do as a means of ways of protecting the estate is that when we're talking about kinyan by estate, even the mashicha by itself is a means of kinyan, and the money will be whatever. You owe the money. But when it comes to the estate for the purpose of protection of the estate, so therefore kinyan is only going to be with the payment of money. The old woman sold the animal, and the mashicha was done, but no money was transferred. Rav Nachman says, now we have something to talk about. Now what we can argue is that we're not going to argue this. This is Allah that is quoting B'Shem Shmuel, and that is that a kinyan has not yet occurred. And now, so the par can go back to the estate, and the kids do not lose money on the appreciated value of the par. Another story. Chamid Rabban Ukva Yasma Mashchua Ba'arba Arba. Wine that was owned by the Yisomim of Rav Ukva. So Apotropism were selling the barrels, $4 a barrel. More accurately, 4 zuzim a barrel. So Iyakar Kamishisa Shisa. And you talk about inflation. The barrels jumped from $4 a barrel to $6 a barrel. And obviously now, you're talking about, right, a loss to the Yisomim. They had something that could have gone up in value 50% had the apotropis not sold it. Okay. Obviously you're looking at significant, it's not really a loss, but it's a unappreciated gain. So also the comment to Rav Nachman Amalu, I know the Rav Chanalai by Idi Dam Rav Chanalai by Idi Dam Rishmol Nichli Yisomim Rikhekish. Velo mikne el bekaspa. So once again, Rav Nachman said over here, what we could do is we could say the sale hasn't occurred yet. Why? Because we're going to treat the estate of Yisomim like that of Hekdesh, and therefore no transfer is done until money has actually been transferred. Over here, this kingdom was only done via Mashiach. It wasn't done with Kesef. So now what we could do is we could just basically have all that wine go back to the estate. Now the kids are going to be able to enjoy the appreciated value of that wine. Mashach Peri Miyasme Iyakar. And now the Gemara is going to go through numerous permutations, right? For the next number of minutes, we're going to go through every permutation of kinyanim that's made between an outsider and the estate. What happens if it goes up in value, down in value? Money was transferred, money was not transferred. So let's go. Number one, Mashach Peri Miyasme. So we had over here produce being purchased from the Yisomim. However, no money was exchanged. Iyakar. And the item value went up. So Hainu Derav Chanalai Bar Idi. Okay, so we already know. In other words, basically what the estate now can do is take it back. In other words, because they can bank themselves on the halacha that we just learned B'Shem Shmuel, and they can take back the item and enjoy the appreciated value. Zol, what if the item's value went down? So Lo Yekol Chejet Chamer Mehekdesh. Over here, so if the item went down, so we want to push the kinyan through, because obviously now you sold it before it dropped. But no money was transferred. Yeah, but a kinyan was done. Mashiach was done. And over here, it's going to be no worse than Hekdesh. Meaning by Hekdesh, we're going to say that we're always going to be protective of Hekdesh. And in the event of a kinyan that was done only through Mashiach, and then there was a price drop, we say that the kinyan goes through. So that Hekdesh does not have to suffer the financial loss. Same thing by the Yisomim. Okay? In other words, these are various acts that were done to protect the estate of the Yisomim. So now we're going to go in the other direction. And that is that we're by, the estate is making a purchase. So let's say it goes up in value. So over here, we're going to say, look, even though no money was transferred, but a meshicha was done. And since a meshicha was done, so we're going to say that the kinyan was made in order to protect the estate of the kids. Let the yisomim enjoy the appreciated value. So however, if it goes down, so in other words, so a purchase was made by the estate, and it was only meshicha, and there was no kesef, and the value went down. So suffer me nehainu derav chenalei bar idi. So what you could argue over here is that what we should do is invoke the rule of Shmuel, which is, look, let's negate the sale, and so that way the kids doesn't have to suffer the loss. So I'm the Rav Shisha Bereid Rav Idi. So ha ra'ahi lididu. The Zimnin, the Mitzarch Leper, v'leika di'avlu adi'av zuzay. And so the Gemara says, don't do that. Why? Because basically what's going to happen is as follows. Everyone's going to understand that selling to the estate is always going to be risky business. What happens is that you sell to the estate and the value goes down and they're going to negate the sale. So every single time now this estate is going over to in other words, they need food for the kids. And they're going now to various sellers, various merchants. And now what? No one's going to want to sell to these kids. Any price drop and they're just simply going to say, huh? We're going to negate the sale. Thank you, but no thank you. So basically, even though for the moment you're going to be protecting the kids, but long term, however, no one's going to end up wanting to sell to the estate, and so therefore, it's not good. Just the opposite, it's bad. So, okay. Yaiv Yasme Zuze Apere. Now we have a couple more permutations to go. Up until now, we talked about Meshicha. In both directions. In other words, we spoke really about four different permutations up until now. We spoke about Meshicha only two directions to go. We talked about Meshicha in two directions, but we talked about what happens when the price goes up versus the price goes down. Okay. So now we're going to be doing the same thing, but with Kesef. In other words, money was transferred. So Yahweh Yasmi Zuzei Apere. So let's say money was given in order to make a purchase for the Yisomim. So now price drop. Lo ye kochejo chamer min ha'ekdesh. So the kochejo cannot be any stronger than that of ha'ekdesh. Since others can retract, remember. With the giving of money, in other words, I didn't make this point clear. Sorry, let's make it clear. We're talking about money being transferred, but Mashiach is not yet done. Okay? Let me give one introductory point, which we all know, but this is just a reminder. So if you're making a kinyan and you have yet to do Mashiach, but you gave money, so are most kanos min haTorah, yes or no? That's a machlokas. But right now, we don't have to worry about that. The halacha is that the kinyan is not made until Meshicha. Why? So we've seen this time and again throughout Chas, and that is that we're interested in protecting the buyer. Because what happens now if you bought an item, however, you have not yet been Moshech, you haven't taken the item yet, so as far as the seller's concerned, seller's not interested in making sure that the item is taken care of. Fire breaks out, and it's all on sold item, so the seller's going to... I mean, obviously, if the fire is affecting his house, he's going to get involved. But if the fire is only affecting the merchandise, seller's not going to care because it's sold already. So as a way of protecting the buyer, so the kinyan is only going to be affected by Meshicha. Okay, good. That we all know. I'm just reminding. Now with that stated, so Yavu Yasmi Zuzei Apere. So let's start again. So the kids now spent money in order to get peros. So now, Zol, if let's say the price went down after money's transferred, so lo yekel chamar min ha'hektesh. So now their strength should not be any greater than that of hektesh. So the meaning to say that we're over here, we're just going to go on the basic halacha. The basic halacha is that if Mashiach is not yet done, a kinyan has not yet occurred. Now, iyaker. Now, here's where it gets interesting. So again, money was transferred. The estate is making a purchase. Money was transferred. No Mashiach has yet been done. And the price goes up. Okay. Now, so now what we could say is as follows. Look, for everybody else, Mashiach has not yet been done. No kinyan. However, remember Shmuel's rule is let's protect the assets of the estate.
Is this price increased more than 1/6?
No, it wasn't. The 1/6 is for the purchase price. Over here, you purchased it for its value. And then afterwards, subsequently, went up in value. Okay. So I might have thought that, look, even though Mashiach has not yet been done, and even though it's only been a transfer of money, but maybe we should push the sale through so that the kids get to enjoy the appreciated value. So Amaluhu or if she should bring Davidi, how Rauli did do? So the Gemara says no, because what's going to end up happening is that again, like I described earlier, a fire is going to break out, and the seller is going to say to himself, "All right, it's not mine. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the kids. It belongs to the estate. I'm not going to take care of it." And so therefore, look, you have to balance various protection acts. On one hand, sure, we would love the estate to enjoy appreciated value. We want to help the Yisomim. But then at the risk of them losing the entire merchandise, right? When it's not on their property, it's still on the property of the seller. And the seller's not going to care for it. He's not going to take care of it. Because he's just basically going to say, it's not mine. So in other words, everything has to be balanced. And over here, I'm going to favor protecting the merchandise in whole. What about the unappreciated gain towards the estate? Okay, no, they're going to lose out on this particular aspect. Okay. Yavu lehu zuzi liasme apere. So we still have two more permutations. Now, what happens when somebody goes ahead and makes a purchase from the Yisomim, and over here cash transferred, but Mashiach has not yet been done? Now what do we say? So again, we have two cases to cover. What happens when it goes up in value and down in value? So iyakir, if it goes up in value, so lo yeko chedjo chamer mehektish. What we're going to say now is that look, Mashiach is not yet done. So Mashiach is not yet done. That means the kinyan hasn't occurred yet. And again, over here, it works in the favor of the Yisomim. The Yisomim are the ones who were the owners of the item. It went up in value. They'd be much happier right now to say that the sale's not yet been done. And over here, that's the basic halacha anyway, meaning even though the money's been transferred, but if Mashiach is not yet done, no kinyan hasn't occurred yet. That's great. Now, but what happens is all if it goes down in value, suffer mina. So hainu derav chen elai bar idi. So over here, so again, maybe we should invoke the rule of Rav Chen elai. And that is that we will say that with the transfer of money, kinyan has occurred. As a way of protecting the estate, meaning consider, right? It was the goods of the kids, it was sold, the sale was done via money, in other words, kasef, but not mashiacha. But the price went down. If we push the sale through, obviously that will be a benefit towards the kids. The kids won't have to suffer the depreciated loss. So the Gemara says, yeah, I hear you, but zahara huli didu dezim and demitzarch lezuzay. The Gemara says again, you have to look at the long term. In other words, if we were to say that the sale doesn't go through, so what does that mean? It means now that if, let's say, there is a need for the estate to have cash, and what's going to happen now? They're going to have to sell off goods in order to get cash. But nobody's going to go ahead and forward them the cash until they actually give the goods over. And so basically what's going to do, it's going to impede their ability to get quick cash. The Gemara says, let's not do that. In other words, again, we have to balance what is, you know, these are various acts of protection for the kids. And you have to look, for every takana, for every institution, there's going to be a consequence. And over here, if we go ahead and we and we were to push this sale through in the case of depreciated assets, so then the next time coming around, no one's going to want to make a sale with the Yesomim until the goods are actually given. Okay. So over here, the Gemara says, let's not push the sale through in that last case. Okay. More stories regarding estate and assets of the Yesomim. So Rav Ashi says, me together with Rav Kahana. So what did we do? We signed on a document of the mother of Ze'iri, who was the custodian of the Yesomim. So what did she do? She sold land. Now again, selling of land of the estate is generally speaking a no-no. However, over here it was lekarga. It was for a collected tax at the time. And below achrazasa. And it was done without an auction. Typically speaking, whenever you sell off real estate of Yesomim, when necessary, so an auction needs to be done in order to make sure you're getting the best price. And over here, if it's for karga, if it's for tax, right, back in the day, you didn't pay your taxes, you were in trouble. Nothing's changed since that point in time. But in other words, you're talking about real, real trouble. Amri Nardai, la karga, la mazon, la kvura, mizavdin b'la achrazasa. In the yeshiva of Narda, they said that quick sales are totally allowed under three circumstances. If it's karga, if it's for tax, right, it's a head tax. So then you can sell the land without auctioning. As also the case of Mizonos, meaning that they need to eat, obviously. So there, you're not going to wait. You can't wait. And the same thing is true regarding kvura, right? In other words, Rachman, if somebody died and you need to bury, so this is something that also cannot wait. And so funds have to be raised and properties have to be sold off. You could do so without making a hachraza. Amram Tzava, apotropati asmehava. So the Amram Tzava, maybe it's his occupation, maybe it's his name, either way. So he was an apotropos. Also krovim lakama de Rav Nachman. So once again, so the relatives are coming to Rav Nachman. You can only imagine they're going to be unhappy. So also krovim lakama de Rav Nachman. Amr lei kalavish umachsem yesmi asme. Now I'll tell you why they're unhappy, says the Gemara. Because I'm watching Amram walk through the streets, and man, is he dressed nice. And he doesn't have that kind of money. So you know what happened. In other words, what he did is that he took money from the estate and he expensed the estate. And what did he expense to the estate? His wardrobe. He felt he needs to look good. This is an old debate in terms of if you're going to negotiate and you need to do business, so how do you need to dress and how do you need to look? And this is something which is not a modern phenomenon. This goes all the way back, and that if you look better, you're going to negotiate better. So Amri lei kalav shemichsem yasme. So that's their claim. So Amri lo, so Rav Nachman says, so ki hechdi lishtamin milei. So Rav Nachman said, no. In other words, he's entitled. In other words, if he's the apotropos and he's negotiating on behalf of the estate, so better negotiation will come about by him looking good. And if that means that he's got to dress well, that's fine. In other words, Rav Nachman basically, he co-signed on this expense. It is a proper expense that he expensed the estate in terms of getting good clothing. But we still think, in other words, this is now the Krovim still complaining to Rav Nachman. We think that he's just eating and he's drinking and he's not wealthy. Meaning he's living large and he's living off the estate. So Amar Mitzia Ashkach, so Rav Nachman says, one can make the argument that he found a Mitzia. In other words, it could very well be that he himself came into money. Rav Nachman was not ready to take this person away from being the apotropos. V'ha kamafsid. So the relatives are still tining to Rav Nachman. He is creating hefsed. He's creating loss to the estate. Amalu Aisikle Sa'ad de Damasid v'asalkinu. Rav Nachman says, okay, I heard you. Bring witnesses. If you bring witnesses that he's in fact creating actual nezik to the estate, so then I'll remove him. So Dam Ravuna Chavre Mishmei Derava Apotropos de Mafsim Masalkinelai. So if the apotropos is creating actual loss, so Masalkinan. Now I know this is going to sound weird. I know. A debate in terms of whether or not the apotropos creates damage, whether he's going to be deposed from his position of apotropos. And one position is we should depose him, another position is we shouldn't depose him. And the halacha is that he's going to be removed from his position. Okay, so Rav Chaim points out over here, I'm thinking, and I'm sure we're all thinking it, meaning if he's causing hefsed, why are we even having a discussion? And imagine the Gemara has another Amanda Amar. It's not accepted halacha, but still, right? Serious people who are serious thinkers. Amanda Amar who says that if he's causing loss, so he shouldn't be deposed. Okay, I don't want to spend time defending the position, but it is a worthwhile endeavor to defend that position. Because it can't be. In other words, it makes too much sense that if you have an apotropos who's causing loss to the estate, so then remove him. What's there to even discuss? Okay, so I know I'm not going to give it the time that it deserves, but in other words, but this is a worthwhile endeavor to figure out. What are they arguing about? What exactly are the scenarios they're arguing about? How can anyone entertain the idea apotropos is causing loss and we should still retain his services? Okay. But we're going to go on. Okay, we're finishing up the daf. Apotropos sheminu av yesomim yishava. So if you have the apotropos that was appointed by the yesomim, so he should make a shvua. My time. Okay, now we go back to the Mishnah, and when we started off the daf today, we went through this way too quickly, but now we get to slow down and we get to analyze. Some apotroposim have to make a shvua at the end of the term of their apotroposness, and some don't have to make a shvua. Who does and who doesn't depends who appointed him. And it depends who we're speaking about. So right now we're going to talk about the Tanna Kamma. According to the Tanna Kamma, if he was appointed by family, so then Yishava. Why? My Tanna. Elav di Islay Hanami Nelav Elay Apotropos. Mishim Shvua Lo Asi Lem Nuye. In other words, if this apotropos was appointed by a family member, right? Let's say the father appointed him. So we're going to say like this. Why did he accept the position? He accepted the position because obviously he owed the father something. In other words, the father tapped him to be apotropos. He accepted the position. There must have been some sort of relationship, and this is an act of reciprocity. And the apotropos either got or will get something out of the deal. Now, so at that point in time, now he's already incentivized to do it. At the end, he's going to be audited and he has to make a shvua. The Tanna Kamma will tell you that's not a big deal. That's fine. It won't discourage him. However, mino basin lo yishava milsavamu david lo beidin v'yiramis ala shvua asilim nuet. But if you're appointed by Beis Din, so that means to say that now you got contacted by Beis Din. Here's an estate, it needs a custodian, it needs a trustee, and you're going to be serving as trustee of the estate. You're good? Yeah. In other words, under those circumstances, the Tanna Kamma will tell you, there is not going to be any quid pro quo, he's not going to get anything in exchange for it. He's doing it simply because he got a call from Beis Din. And so over here, who is going to be doing this? This is not a paid position. I know earlier this morning we talked about various expenses that you may be able to expense the account, but it's not a paid position. And so over here, who's going to want to take this position? Tanna Kamma will tell you, nobody. And not nobody. But you're already starting with a limited pool of people. And now you're going to have to make a shvua at the end of the term, and everyone knows that? Thank you, but no thank you. So we can't do it. In other words, this is tikkun olam. So in order to encourage people to say yes, we're going to waive the shvua at the end. That's lefi the Tanna Kamma. And now we're going to do it everything again, but according to Abishal. So, according to Abishal, we're going to go in the opposite. And here's how we're going to argue it. According to Abishal, you were appointed by Beis Din. So what happens? Your credit score now jumps up through the roof. Now, I say credit score, I don't really exactly mean your credit score, but in other words, your reputation. Right. Now, what just happened? Did you hear? He was appointed by Beis Din to be an apotropos. This is somebody we can rely upon. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, we should do business with him. right? He's a reliable individual. So in other words, so for that, so people are ready to accept it. Ah, you're going to make Yeshua at the end? Worth it. Worth it. However, Mino avi yisamim lo yishav amil sabama hu davdi ala adadeh, v'iram asal Yeshua asal lehem nuyeh. If, on the other hand, you're not called by Beis Din, but you're called rather by the family, right? The father who, you know, whatever, I can make this dramatic. He knows that he's leaving this world and he wants to appoint an apotropos. Whatever the case is, you're contacted by the family, so according to Abishal, he assumes that there was no exchange, there is no reciprocity over here, and basically, I need a favor from somebody. Would you be serving as a custodian for the estate in the event that I'm not here? And if we didn't waive the Shvua, who's going to say yes? That's the argument of Abishal. So now, basically, we know that a Shvua is going to be waived by an apotropos, but we had a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Abishal. When are we waiving the Shvua? According to the Tanakhama, that's only when appointed by Beis Din. According to Abishal, that's when appointed by the family, which is the accepted position. Amrav Chanabarami, Amr Shmuel Chuzak Abishal. So the Gemara's conclusion, Allah Chuzak Abishal. So Tanya Rebbe Laz Ben Yaakov Armas, Zevizei Yishava, Vehalacha Kidvarav. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa. The Braisa says that according to Rebbe Laz Ben Yaakov, you're always going to make a Shvua, Zevizei Yishava, whether appointed by Beis Din or appointed by the family. And the Braisa ends, Halacha Kidvarav, and that's the Halacha. Okay? And even the Braisa says the Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Braisa says the Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the accepted Halacha, but that's, you know, the Braisa is co-signing on that. Who was ever the author of the Braisa. Tani Rav Tachlifa Bar Marava Kamed Rabbi Abba Apotropos Shemino Avisam Mimishava Mimneshu No Sei Schar. So the Apotropos that was appointed by the father, so he's going to have to make a Shvua. Why? No Sei Schar. Right. I touched on this in the beginning of the Daf, and now as we are at the end of the Daf, so now you see the Gemara trying to give a descriptive term, a legal descriptive term. What is the Apotropos? Meaning he's a Shomer. He's a Shomer Chinam. He's a Shomer Sachar. Okay. So he is no Sei Schar. So that is the viewpoint of this Braisa. Right? Right. Yeah. So fine. So the Gemara says, Amalei at Isis Kaba Vekailalei. Right? Literally, right? You have a measuring cup and it's a single measuring cup. It's an expression that basically means they're always going to get paid. That's not true. In other words, some custodians get paid. And some custodians do it pro bono. And so, what do you mean? He is a shomer sachar. He's getting paid. So, ela'ema mimneshu ki nosei sachar. So he is like a nosei sachar. Meaning to say that what happened over here is that he accepted the position of being the apotropos. Why? For what we argued earlier, just a couple minutes ago. In other words, there is going to be favors exchange. Either there was favors exchange or there will be favors exchange. In other words, even though he's not getting paid, but there are going to be benefits in which he's going to receive in taking the position. He is ki nosei sachar. As a result of that, when you're a shomer and you're getting paid, so your level of responsibility and liability goes up, and you're going to have to make a shvua. So, and presumably, according to this braisa, It sounds that way. I'm not sure about that point. Okay, Adkan. Okay, we finished really a complete daf, meaning from Mishnah to Mishnah, and with one topic over here, the topic of apotropos. Really interesting gemaras regarding custodial responsibility. What is responsible? What's irresponsible behavior? The selling of assets, the buying on behalf. A lengthy discussion right in the middle of today's daf in terms of how kinyanim are going to be done. Regarding the estate in either direction, mishicha kesef, going from the estate to outsiders, from outsiders to the estate. When should we go with the regular halachas of kinyanim? When should we bypass the regular halachas of kinyanim in protection of the estate? That was a big part of today's daf. A little bit tricky, but that was a big part of today's daf. When can you sell off parts of the estate? When can you do so without an auction? Various questions of when the apotropos becomes the apotropos, can he be deposed? Can he be removed from his position? At what point of irresponsibility can he be deposed? And I only just covered some of the topics that we did today in summary regarding that of an apotropos.